All right, I can begin. Today is the final shiur in a year that Baruch Hashem will give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end, but Mendaf my design to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mevet Elter, and yet, thank God, the mind is producing better than ever. I want to mention that I'm humbled by medicine. As some of you know, last Sunday night was a very difficult night. I wound up in the emergency room and bursitis. I now know of another illness. And believe it or not, I went from doctor to doctor, but I got to the expert on Thursday. I had an appointment 2 weeks from now. My wife had Thursday, so we switched. And top orthopedist, and I see, you know, everyone says the same thing. There's no real cure, it has to take its time, etc., etc. But he said three things: wear a sling when you can, ice, and cabbage leaves. And I have to tell you that yesterday I bought a big green cabbage, and it's gone down. It's now half the size it was a few days ago. So, gentlemen, never ask me about the cures in the Gemara. They know what they're talking about.
Does it have to be Yushka
Tikla? No, regular cabbage. For all I know, it's Arab cabbage. Okay, today is June 6, 2016, and we're all here in a festive mood, the final shiur. I just want to mention, if any Talmidim are listening, there's a shlichut available in Singapore. If anyone is interested in doing shlichut and chutzlar, it's an opportunity. It's open in Singapore. The person to contact is Esther Gordon, known as Barbie Gordon. Yomo will have details. I also want to mention that a book appeared. I just finished the book. I want to thank Rabbi Reuben Unger for bringing it to my attention. It's by my Talmud, Rabbi Dr. Adam Furziker, who studied with me both in BMT, if I recall, and the Kollel, married to a student of mine, Naomi Weiss, from Michwala. Wonderful, wonderful people. I'm very proud. This is beyond sectarianism. He picks up, interestingly enough, the two most famous sociologists, political scientists, understanding the American scene. Charlie Liebman, Zichrono Levracha, was my balabash in Lower Merion Synagogue. And his first article, I Am the Case Study. Young rabbi crossed it out, right, Aaron Rothkopf, and he became famous for his analyses. And his Talmud, Adam Furziker, picks up just where he left off. What's very fascinating about this book, and here I'm very happy because all of you know my attitude, if I say something which is innovative, and I find someone else saying it, I jump for joy, because we're going on the right track. He has an entire chapter on the Lakewood outreach, comparing it to Chabad, many of the points I make in class. So I'm absolutely right. Chabad is so successful that Lakewood has come full cycle with all of its anti-Chabad. Today, it's confident enough to engage in outreach, but it's very different. It's exactly what I said in class. The Lakewood outreach centers around a communal-based medrash, and Chabad, the whole concept of a Jew being able to do one more mitzvah. All right, it's a very fascinating volume. It just appeared. I highly recommend it. His portrayal of Yeshiva University is right on. His portrayal of my chaver, my childhood friend, my colleague today, friend, Reb Heschel Schechter, is exactly right on. And it's what I've said in class many times. People call Reb Heschel Haredi, why you has gone Haredi. Reb Heschel's not Haredi, why you hasn't gone Haredi. But there's no question it doesn't have the breath, the ma'of, there's a Hebrew word, the ma'of, the breitkeit in Yiddish, that it had under the Rav. And yes, the Rav was very, very unique in that respect. Princeton and Harvard and Yale all played a role in the Rav's life. Radcliffe, the top universities. The Rav was unique. Rav Yosef Weiss told me in 1953, quoting Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, his Rebbe, the Rav's father, He said to me, mein Rebbe, Reb Moshe, at mir gesagt, told me, if you're going to college, do it properly. Okay? And that was the Rav. His ideas, his visions. And I have a lot of it. I don't know, somehow my two volumes on the Rav, people don't realize the gems that are there. But I have the Rav where he talks about why he loves Yeshiva College, why he doesn't want a Catholic college. That is unbelievably practical and understanding. And understandable. But you have to be on the level of the Rav. Could be today in YU, the faculty and the students are not on that level. And this is why, if you recall, when Richard Joel took over his presidency, at the presidency, there was a whole move to try to control the faculty. Lander College began just like the Beit Sefer Gavola Technologia, just like Machon Lev, or the Academic Lev Center, I think they call it today, or the Lev Academic Center. And there, the courses are under the control of the rabbis. And I once gave a whole lecture in Machon Lev, 30, 40 years ago already. I gave a whole lecture on why Rav Shmuel Raphael Hirsch would love Machon Lev, or today Lander College, and not be at ease with Yeshiva University. And this goes back to my correspondence with Jacob Breuer in the early 60s when I was working on my doctorate, and I wanted to establish that Rabbi Revel saved Rabbi Breuer. So his son, Jacob Breuer, confirmed it, that my father was saved by Rabbi Revel. But then he went into a whole tirade, and I've given that letter around. It's become so sad. Some people showed it to me as if they don't realize I'm the source. I gave it out. I made it available. But he attacks Yeshiva University because their courses there in Acharam, Bialik, etc. So you see, it's worlds in conflict. The P.S. to that story, which you have to understand well what I'm saying, Jacob Breuer, Joseph Breuer, Jacob and I became very close many, many years later because the Breuer, the institution, moved beyond them. You see, with Lakewood and all that went on, and that's the story. I gave a talk on Shafir. So Max Wall brought him to the talk with his wife. You know this already, right? He had just married, came in Aliyah. And after the talk, in front of 200 people, he hugged me and kissed me. I mean, there's a yucca. And we were antagonists 35 years. And he said to me, Rabban, I'm buying a ticket for you tomorrow. I want you to give this talk in Washington Heights. And without batting an eyelash, I say, listen to me carefully, my life insurance is not paid up yet. He was hysterical, you know, but that's life. The Rav once said, again, a revealing secret, but it's time to reveal them. Among the people the Rav met when he was here in 35, he met Rabbi Zsolti, who was one of the stars, but Zsolti, one of the stars in Yeshivat Hevron. In Yeshivat Hevron, at that time, everyone was a Mizrachist. The Agudistim were clandestine. Everyone else was a Mizrachist. It's not like today that the Mizrachite has to hide in the Litvashi Yeshiva. So the Rav was very impressed with Bezalel Zsolti. And over the years, he followed his progress, and he became more right-wing and more right-wing. And then Zsolti becomes chief rabbi of Jerusalem. And mind you, I love Bezalel. Rabbi Bezalel and I were good friends. I love him. Don't misunderstand me. And he goes to Matta stuff. Were you here yet? Cholamai Pesach to give Sheyurim. And they demonstrate against him. And the Rav, you know, was getting Hatsofer in the... He was right up to date what's happening in Israel. And the Rav commented... He says, you see, when you become a kanoi, you can never become kanoi enough to satisfy the kanoim who are bigger kanoim than you. So it was the same story that we saw twice. Okay, if time allows, I'll come back to it at the end of this year. I want to deal with some basic material in Mashiach Tzidkenu and then shift gears altogether. I got a lot of correspondence on Mashiach. I call your attention, there's an actually a tshuva. I know this tshuva, Nigra Moshe, Chelik Hei Orechayim, where he deals with Orechayim the fifth time. I think this volume was published posthumously. It's Siman Chet. And what's fascinating is the tshuva is to Reb Moshe's nephew, Reb Yechiel Michel Feinstein. Now, those of you who don't recognize the name, Reb Yechiel Michel Feinstein was Reb Moshe's brother's son. He came to America. He was very close to the Rav. He was not married. When he studied with the Rav in Boston, and when the Rav started teaching in New York, he took over the kollel that the Rav had established in Boston. Heichal Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi. Details are available in Bernard Rebel Bilda of American Jewish Orthodoxy. It's a very interesting chapter. I also write about it in the Rav, obviously, and I've lectured about it extensively. However, he didn't have the Rav's ability with students, and the kollel didn't last too long. At that point, he went to New York, and Reb Moshe made him a Ram in Yeshiva, in MTJ. Reb Moshe now was the focal figure in MTJ, and Reb Chaim Michel became a Ram. And he was very happy in America. He had Americanized, he spoke basic English, he could have gone on to a wonderful calling here as a Melamed Torah. But the Briska Rav wanted him for his daughter. And they told him, it's either put up or shut up. If your Briska Rav wants you and you are willing, go back to Israel and get married. So he went back to Israel and married the Briska Rav's daughter. He made in Israel subsequently the whole story with Rav Matiel Cutler's, with Rabbi Yechiel's daughter. It's a very sad story. The Lashon Hara is carrying on today in Lakewood, that Rav Matiel's daughter got a son just got engaged to a Sfadiyar, and they're all saying because no one wanted no Ashkenazi, no Litvak would marry into a family where they were over on Chayim the Rabbeinu Geshem. You know, Rav Matiel never didn't divorce his wife. She wouldn't take a get. She wouldn't leave Israel. It became a core celebrity here. You remember, right? I'm a Charlie. You're here already. There was a whole play, what was it called, Fagel or Mashahu, a whole play, you know, a real tragic story of the Briska family. It broke the Soloveitchiks with the Feinsteins, and until today it remains an open wound. So, but Rabbi Chaim Michel, when I came in Allah, I went to see him, and I saw there was, this man had the American Breitkeit in him. It was still in him years later, and I often wondered if he would have been better off remaining in America, but all right, that's to the tshuvas too. But what's fascinating about this tshuva, Reb Moshe talks about the chiyuv to believe Mashiach coming, and it's like he's responding to a letter of bracha he got from Rabbi Yechiel Michel Feinstein of before Pesach. And Reb Moshe says we even should look forward. You should be able to bring the carbon Pesach this year, and chutcha betziba. I mean, this is a very fascinating topic that so much ink has been spilled on it since Shivat Zion began. But what's fascinating is above all biur hachiyev letzapot lebiat hamashiach b'chol yom. So you see, anyone who criticizes Chabad, here's Reb Moshe writing a tshuva, which intrinsically is totally in support of Chabad. I also got a whole printout here from someone listening to the Shurim who has done research on Mashiach for many years, and he gives me a whole tshuva with so many sources and how it will be and how it will come about. But ultimately, I come back to the Rambam. I quote it, and I quote again and again and again. Hilchot Malachim, Perek Yudbet, Halacha Bet, we won't know till it happens. There is so much contradictory material that if anyone tells you black and white, this is the way it's going to be, Tipach Rucham Shel Mechashvei Kitzim. All right. The Rebbe is now dead, and is the messianicism over? There's no question towards the end of his life, it multiplied very rapidly. The feeling, they were losing the Rebbe, old age. I know how we felt when the Rav turned 70 in poor health, and time moved on, and when anyone ever came to him from America to Israel, the first question we asked, how is Rebbe, how is Rebbe, how is Rebbe? I remember when Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, the eldest son of the Brisker Rav, died. It must have been 81, if I recall. Oh, the news spread here in Jerusalem. Everyone thought, lo aleinu, was the Rav, and we were like hysterical. And oh, then we found out the Rav was his first cousin, and then his health and his failing. And I remember seeing Rebbe in 83, the last time, face to face, eye to eye, ear to ear, and to see the degeneration in the man's health, ah, it hurts, it hurts. So I can understand the Rebbe is now hitting 90, and we want Mashiach now, we want Mashiach now. All right, now the Rebbe is dead. Can a dead person be Mashiach? And if someone wakes you up in the middle of the night when you're balabatash seichel, as the Rebbe used to say, Josh, your primary seichel works without any intrusions of being too smart or too wise, your gut reaction would be absolutely not. Mashiach has to be from the living. But I showed you the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Tzadichet Amid Bet, there are two versions in the Gemara, two versions in Rasi, two Girsa'at, when the Gemara speaks in terms of Rabbeinu HaKadosh or Daniel Ish Hamudat, it means if it's someone alive, it has to be like Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And if you look back to the dead for inspiration, it has to be like Daniel. But the other pshat is, pshuto kamashma'o, it can be someone alive or someone dead. It doesn't mean like, it means someone, Daniel, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, can go either way. That's Rashi. What's fascinating is, I ended off the class with the letter from Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. It's a fascinating source. And I have to tell you, Shemin Sason Mechaberecha, four beautiful, glossy volumes, a world of material. A man who worked with the archives of Chabad, with the letters written by the Rebbe. And he shows you all the Gedolei Yisrael the Rebbe was in touch with, correspondence back and forth. And in the volume, I quoted from volume 3, many pages devoted to the Soloveitchik family. And there you have Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Aaron writes that you can't contradict them, you can't criticize them. This is a pshat in Rashi, and you can still believe that the Rebbe can be Mashiach, Tchiyat HaMetim, and this is Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. Now, it was a very shocking letter. And you have to understand that Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik bears the name Soloveitchik. When you bear the name Soloveitchik, it's a privilege, but it's also a burden. It means this is Rabbi Aaron, the great, let us say, the grandson of Rabbi Chaim Brisker, the great, 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 great grandson of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, and he's saying something like this. So it was a tremendous public outcry. Before the Jewish press published the letter, and the letter's in English, I read it to you. It's dated, it's signed by Rabbi Aaron. I can tell you it's Rabbi Aaron's signature. I know his signature. I know Rabbi Aaron from 1951 on. Not a small matter. And Rabbi Aaron was asked, did you sign that? Absolutely, it's my signature. Then other people said, well, Rabbi Aaron was on in years, he was crippled. Maybe his mind wasn't perfect. I can tell you, as far as I know, Rabbi Aaron's mind was perfect till the time his wife died. From the time Nebuch, these people, it's not like today's generation. I just saw on the website, one of the websites, there was a wedding in New York. I think they had 36-piece band with a chazan. You know, people, the Yomo was telling me, people spend $500,000 on a wedding. Anything, $1 million, any look, when you have the money, you throw it around, the people have no sneer today. So it extends also. If I had the money to make a wedding like that, believe me, I wouldn't use the money to make a wedding like that. There are other things to use the money for. But all right, if you have the money, all right. I thought to myself, 36 band, the chazan, Will it last? You understand? Today's world, I need not tell you, I have Talmidim, their first wife, their second wife, their third wife, and I inherited the third wife. Lasted. This is the world. I come from a different world, you understand? It's a different world. I can understand the Rav, I can understand Rav Moshe. I remember Rav Barrett, I told you the story with Ella, when the Marcus family made a wedding, and remember, one of the Marcus, Rafi Marcus, Seichet Tzadik Levarcha, was Rav Barrett's son-in-law. So when his cousin made a wedding, the Marcuses from Beit Shemesh, they asked Reb Aaron, Rebbe, we have mixed seating at the wedding, but we have one little area, Hasidish Kraivim, they're sitting separate. Would you like to sit with your wife or in the area with the Chassidim? Reb Aaron said, that's the Shaila, I love my wife, I want to sit there. That was Reb Aaron Soloveitchik. So it could be when his wife died, those last, I believe it was 2 years, it was very hard for him. I heard that from the family. I heard that Edith Nemana. He never became himself again. It was like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, like the Rav, like Rav Ovadia Yosef. There are people that can't remarry. All right, I'm speaking Wednesday. A Talmud of mine who wrote many books. One of them is Kosher Parenting. And I have to give him credit. His first wife died suddenly. 5 children, I believe there were. She died overnight. Overnight. Childhood sweethearts, and he was able to remarry. They just celebrated 25 years, and fortunately wrote a beautiful book on kosher parenting and a marriage and children and a second marriage. Not everyone is on that level. Now he put out a new book, Kosher Movies, so I'm speaking on kosher movies. All right, Baruch Hashem. Tell me, leaving this machleket aside, and saying, halacha l'maisa, yes, could be Rashi has got the right girsa, could be you can rise from the dead, but leaving that aside, right, 2 girsot in the Gemara, 2 viewpoints in Rashi, I don't think anyone here is big enough today to say I dismiss the second viewpoint in Rashi. Could be. Let's not argue about it. Let's see what happens. But I want to raise a different question. And this is a very serious question. And I'll give you sources within and sources without. Tell me, who is Mashiach? What one thing that the Rebbe did, he raised awareness of Mashiach. What are the halacha? When I learned with Gedolei Gedolei Yisrael, we never touched upon Hilchot Malachim. Never. I mean, I told you with the Rav, we learned Sanhedrin, but Perek Kalek, Perek Yud Aleph, we never learned. We never touched upon Halacha, of Mashiach, of Latid Lavol. You all know that the Shulchan Aruch, which we all get our smichah on, and I've given many shermits, not for now, why Dafka the Shulchan Aruch? Danny wants to learn the Rif, the Rush. He doesn't want to learn Shulchan Aruch. He can't get Smicha. Get Smicha on the Shulchan Aruch. Danny, there's a reason why. All right, fine, beautiful. The Shulchan Aruch is entirely Halacha Hanocheged Bisman Hashem. The Rif, the Rush, wherever you go, Halacha Hanocheged Bisman Hashem. The only one of the Rishonim who paskined in an orderly fashion Hilchata de Meshichata, Halacha Latid Lavo, was Maimonides. And here, because Chabad kept on talking about Mashiach, the Rebbe declared people have to learn Hilchot Malachim, people have to learn about Mashiach. All right, so let's learn about Mashiach. Hilchot Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Now, this is a very famous Rambam. Al yaleh al dat chash and melech mashiach tzarich lasot otot umofsim. Umachadesh devarim biolam amachayim meitzim ukiyotse bevarim elu shahatipshim omrim. Ein hadava kein. That Rambam, very, very powerful. You all know we were raised, we're going to raise our own children, I raised my children, and you're going to raise your grandchildren, and you're always going to tell them, It's going to be wonderful. Mashiach tzeit. Everything will be good. Everything will be wonderful. You know, we all say that to our children. We'll say it to our grandchildren. I mean, it's part and parcel of our lingo, of our language. But look what the Rambam says. Only fools believe that. Melech HaMashiach doesn't have to do miracles, doesn't have to change the order of life. No. And how does the Rambam know this? And this is very important. Sharei Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Mechachmei HaMishnah Haya. V'hu Haya Nosei Kelev Shel Ben Koziba HaMelech. V'hu Haya Omer Olam Shehu HaMelech HaMashiach. V'dama Shehu V'chol Chachmei Darol Shehu HaMelech HaMashiach. Ad Shenehrag Babanotam. Wow. Bakochva. What are they doing? Let me tell you something shocking. Yesterday was Yom Yerushalayim. Thank God I had enough seichel not to call class. I learned from Vic a year ago. I don't know why Rabbi Miller doesn't call off the class in the AV, even if we're slightly charedim, but Yom Yerushalayim. But I don't think there were any classes here yesterday. Danny, am I right? In the afternoon, Rabbi Betnash didn't teach as far as I know. Am I right?
There was a Sudas Hagigian.
Yeah, but afterwards, it said regular classes. But Josh, did Rabbi Betnash teach?
I think there's no more shiurim. There's no more shiurim during the year.
Yeah, okay, besides it, so was that, it's after it. He didn't teach, oh, what went on. I have to tell you. Yom Yerushalayim is very special for me personally. I have to be honest with you. That's why I'm here in Aliyah. Plain and simple. My wife was an ardent Zionist, but the Rav told me successful. The Rav gave me a tremendous compliment. Arnold, I hear you know how to excite the students when you teach at Tosfos. Look, how many Rebbeim have kids excited, 14, 15 years old, teaching at Tosfos? Fine. And I was building a tehillah in America. Remember, my dream was that I should make every Jew in America a Shomer Shabbat. And then Yom Yerushalayim came. I write about it in Washington. I don't want to repeat what I write. I lived it. So I come in Aliyah. In Aliyah, we'll talk about it perhaps on Wednesday night in the context of a certain movie. It's not like Aliyah today. Aliyah today, the Watsons came in Aliyah, big deal. Nefesh b'nefesh. They picked them out of Teaneck where they speak English, put them in Beit Shemesh where they speak English. I came in Aliyah. Who saw an American? And what I did see an American could have ruined my life. I write about it in Washington that they told me to become an Israeli, a Rebbe. You can't teach like in America. We changed all of Israel. We Americans, we deserve a little credit. We not only changed the Anglo world, we had a big impact on the Israeli Torah world as well. The Pechinuch, Atidim Bat the Gemara at the end of Megillah, Atidim Bat the Knesset La'alot, La'eretz Yisrael. So Rav Kefet asked the simple question, you have to take apart brick by brick. If by the time you get it, you'll never be able to put it together properly. What is the Gemara talking about? There is in Anana one Beit Knesset that they brought over brick by brick with the South African laborers. They put them up in a hotel in Tel Aviv for months to put it together just like it was in South Africa. The rabbi of that shul just died at my Talmud, Danny Bella, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. So I say pshat that each gola created certain abilities. And Latid Lavo, when the Jews, when you have the ingathering of the exiles, each gola contributes its ability. The Americans, we can create a way to teach Torah in the 21st century. We can deal with technology, the world. We know how to answer. We know how to play basketball with our students. We know how to talk baseball with the Rav. I mean, it gave the ability to break down the barriers. And in the modern world, no one should think, we're relics of an ancient civilization. We're right here in this civilization in Torah Hashem Tamima. Okay, so I came in Aliyah, and Rabbi Kukman offers me a job in 69. I tell him I have a contract with the encyclopedia. said, well, we break contracts in Israel. I say, I can't do that. So I started teaching part-time in BMT, which just began, and I'm working on the encyclopedia. Fine. 71, the encyclopedia ends. They offered me a fortune of money to remain with Keter Publishing. But by then I knew I have to go back to teaching full-time, and which is like this. So now I'm in Michlala, in the shadow of the Six-Day War. And I came in the faculty in Michlala, Gedolei Yisrael. I'm teaching in the Israeli program. The foreign student program is very small, and I'm in the Israeli program at that time. And Rav Shlomo Minaha, the Rav of Bayit Vagan, read some of his from to see what I'm talking about. So he said to his class in Michlala, he said, if Moshe Dayan would be from, could very well be that he's Mashiach Tzidkenu. That's what he said. Wow. Well, let's see the Rambam. Didn't have to do miracles. You don't know Moshe Dayan, you all know. They're now releasing papers, the secrets before the Six-Day War began. The Matar Klali, the Chief of Staff, the Prime Minister, you're reading what's going on. And Moshe Dayan was like a god, a getchka. People walked around goyim with eye patches that people should fear them. This is Moshe Dayan. And Rav Minhaha said it, and he was serious. Rav Minhaha was serious. If he would only be from, all right. And you see with Bar Kokhba that Rebbe Akiva, one of the great Chachamim of the Masorah, we're not dealing here with an unknown Tana or an unknown Amora. You're dealing here with Rebbe Akiva. For who haya omer alav shulku hamelech hamashiach. And everyone saw what he did, the battles he fought, what he achieved. Kivin shenerag, noda she'enu Mashiach. So you see, Rav Minhaha was not far off. Here after the Holocaust, here we are, all the Arab armies have declared war. Do you remember at the UN what went on? The Russian ambassador and the Arab ambassadors were licking their hands together. We'll soon be rid of the Jews. The Jewish problem will be solved. It was a Russian problem too, because the state of Israel was keeping Jewish identity in Russia, was keeping a nationalistic feeling. How can this be? Jews are Russians, citizens of the world, Soviets. Not bad, but Bar Kokhba was killed, but look what the Rambam says. V'lo sha'alu mimenu chachamim lo ot v'lo mofet. Didn't ask for any miracles. V'ika hadavaram kachahem. Sha'atoran hazad ein chukeka mishmataka mishtanim li'olam u'li'ol me'olam mim v'yim osifim alayim v'odgim v'ken v'cholam osifo goreya osh Oshem Gale Panim Betora Bahotsidevaram Shom Mitzvot Mipshutam Hareze Vadai Russia for Apikoris. So the Rambam here is putting down one cloud, and in order to be Mashiach, you have to be a good Jew. And Bar Kokhba was a good Jew. Dayan, unfortunately, I'm quoting Rav Shlomo Minhaha, was not a good Jew. Although it's an amazing thing with families. His nephew Uzi Dayan, who also is a general in Tzvach Haganah Yisrael, is not only a Shomer Shabbat, I mean, it's an amazing thing, Dayan's nephew. I've heard him speak about what it means to be a Jew. It's overwhelming. You know what I'm talking about. He said of Mifal HaPayas, he married a religious girl, a PhD student at Bar Ilan. When he was getting his master's, the army insists that the high ranking officers have to have at least a second degree. He married this lady, and it opened the whole world of what Torah is about to him. Oh, a wonderful, wonderful Jew. So, if he's not religious, he can't be Mashiach. And this is very important for us to know about all Lo aleinu, the rabbis, the professors, the scholars, the new age, who have gone off the path, the Torah is eternal. And as we started to talk about in the Sunday class, we'll get to it in September, Be'ezrat Hashem. If you don't understand the Torah, then it means your Western knowledge has dulled your feelings, emotions, your understanding, your intellect. Western world has to surrender the Torah. It's very sad. 200,000 people in Tel Aviv. The overwhelming majority are not homos or lesbians, I hope, but they have to show support, liberalism. And a poor Chabadnik who was in the area going to set up his tefillin stand a few blocks away, he was assaulted by the demonstrators that he's dressed in black, that he's narrow-minded. Olam hafuch ani roeh. But now you come to Halacha Dalet. V'yim yamod melech mi-beit David hogeb Torah v'yosek b'mitzvot k'David aviv k'vi Torah shebichtav v'Torah shebalkeh. Okay, listen to this Rambam now, word by word by word. The Rebbe spoke about it so many times. The Rebbe spoke about this so many times. If there'll be a king from Malchut Beit David, and he'll be a Shoyma Mitzvot, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebal Peh. All right, so far so good. The Lubavitcher Rebbe can fit this role, right or wrong. But he has to do more. V'yukov kol Yisrael le'lechba. We would say mat Hebrew le'lechba, I believe. But le'lechba u'lechazek u'lechazek v'yilachem milchamot Hashem harezeh b'cheskat shehu Mashiach. And if he'll go out and he'll force the Jews to go in the path of Torah and strengthen their religious observance, and they will fight the wars of God, then he is Becheskat Mashiach. Becheskat. Alright? What does this mean? Translate it. There is no question that no Torah leader in the world did more to strengthen Yiddishkeit across the entire world than the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay? There is no question that he fought the wars of the Ribbono Shel Olam wherever Jews lived, sent shluchim, did everything possible to strengthen. But what does it mean, was of the Ribbono Shel Olam? You can take it on a spiritual level, but there are specific wars we have to fight. Mechiyat Amalek could be the whole war of getting Eretz Yisrael, Shitat HaRamban, mitzvah, chiyuvit, not just kiyumit. Okay, you're with me? I can't elaborate, it'll take me hours. The Avnei Nezer, when he deals with this Yoredeya. Could be. Did he get every Jew to be from? You understand what I'm alluding to now? On one hand, I don't... Chas v'chalila, that we should take any credit away from the Rebbe. There's no question, more than any other spiritual leader. I told you 1,000 times over. How many people did the Rav affect? And I'm a Talmid of the Rav. Mi piv ani chai. Mi mav ani shoteh. I'm a Talmid of the... How many people did he affect? I saw in Lakewood, there's a Talmud sent me a link to a talk that Arnold Lustiger just gave on the Rav, on Shuv. It's very good. You should, he has mistakes. If I meet him... The whole story of, I lived it. I see how history, I can understand how about Napoleon There are about 50 different books written, each one describing them differently. I see already with the Rav, where he deals with Al HaTshuva, how it came to be. The whole story is wrong. I know the story intimately from the Rav's family and from the heads of RCA. So if I see Arnold Lestica, Arnold, if by any chance anyone is listening and can tell Dr. Lestica what I'm saying, remind me to tell you the inside story of Al HaTshuva and the English translation and the Jesuit press, I believe it was. It has nothing to do with the Rav. It's very fascinating, but it's not for now. But how many lives? The Lubavitcher Rebbe. All right. But to say every Jew, 200,000 Jews show up in Tel Aviv to spit in the Ribbono Shel Olam's face. It's unbelievable. I was at a wedding last Wednesday in Tel Aviv, a New Age wedding. I would have never gone. But it's my neighbor's granddaughter, and my neighbor just lost his wife, and we were neighbors 45 years. He came in Aliyah about 2 years after we did, so I had to go out of respect. Thank God I couldn't go alone. My daughter drove me. I see an amazing one. She didn't know where she's going. The Waze tells her how to get there. I depend upon an inanimate little dummy, and the Waze told her we went through Bat Yam. But, I got there, I saw Tel Aviv. Oh, Ribbono Shel Olam. Gentlemen, if any of you are Chabatnikim, there's a lot of work waiting for you in Tel Aviv. This is a crowd in Tel Aviv. They from the age of 16, they're sleeping around. But when they're ready to have children, somehow they decide to get married, which I have to admire, because it doesn't make sense. Get there. So they don't go to Cyprus. Soha sends rabbis to perform the wedding. So it was a sight to see the way the women are dressed or not dressed. Forget about the fact that they're two-thirds naked. The tattoos. If you're naked already, why do you need tattoos? Naked with tattoos, sickening. And then the whole chuppah is like a play. There's looking around. But there's a chuppah v'kedushin, kol hakavod to tzoha. And I asked, is the rabbi paid? No. All they pay him is for his car, for the cab. Coming and going, it's the only money that changes hands. Kol hakavod. And then the whole night, Mehulavinta, 3 a.m, it went on. The wine, the liquor, the wine. Many people told me they don't take their cars because they know they're going to be drunk, so they use cabs afterwards. It was a sight. And there was a chabotnik there from the old country. His wife is a nurse with the mother. And he says to me, Aaron, did you check the hashgacha? I say, Avigdor, what I'm going to eat, take my word for it, I don't have to check the hashgacha. I had a little salmon and some vegetables that fought me a gang 9 o'clock at night. Fought me a gang, Josh, in a million years I can't translate it. Yitzchak, what does it mean? I don't know what it means. Fought me a gang, it's like I'm going to waste my time at 9 o'clock at night eating meat. Who can eat? So I know what I ate. I know that his wife ate. Whether Victor ate beyond what I ate, I don't know. But you see, can you say the Rebbe influenced Kol Yisrael? Okay. Interesting. I'm going to show you what I'm doing. There's a source. I'm going to anchor it. And then he goes on, but you have a Cheskat Mashiach. Im Asava Hatzliach Minitzach Kolu Matsha Svivav. V'banam migdash b'mekomo v'kibetz nitchei Yisrael harei ze Mashiach b'vadai. Wow. Well, look what he adds. Look what he has to do. Wow. Defeat all the nations. Build the base on Mikdash in its place and gather in all the Jews. Well, defeat all the nations, you know what we're up against. But I have to say about the Rebbe, there was never a bigger military strategist for the state of Israel than the Rebbe. Generals who went in to consult with him walked out astounded how astute his knowledge is. But to say we defeated all the nations? Did we build the Beit HaMikdash? Well, Baruch Hashem, we have the Kotel HaMaravi. We have more or less the Makom HaMikdash, the Har HaBayit. Who can forget the cry on the army radio in 67? Har HaBayit B'Yadenu, Ani Chozer, I repeat, Har HaBayit B'Yadenu. But there's no Beit HaMikdash, right or wrong? Morty was there when Duvi Hartman abolished Tisha B'Av in, what was it, 67, 68? 67 abolished Tisha B'Av, Montreal. We no need. We don't have a Beit HaMikdash. What are you talking about? We don't have Kabbalah. Well, we've come a long way. Kibbutz Galyot. Well, you have to give the Rebbe a lot of credit. He predicted that the Russian Empire would fall. Who could have predicted that? Who could have believed it? When Yitzhak and I visited Russia, if someone would have told us, I went 81, 85, 89, 89 already was a little better. Yitzhak, what year did you go?
January 86.
86, that was at the worst, 86 was murder. Murder, you have no idea what went on. They were arresting Zionists wholesale. You saw, what went on with the Sirev Aliyah, the Refusnikim. And I sent, Malkin and I sent so many shlichim, not shluchim, but shlichim. We'll come to that next year, the difference between a shlich and a shluch. It becomes a machlekes after the Rebbe dies. But we sent so many. If anyone would have said to us in 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, the whole communist empire is going to fall without a shot being fired, and ultimately, every last Jew who wants to get out can come on Aliyah. The one who foresaw it was the Rebbe. Anyone would have told me that, I would have said, what are you insane? You know what the communist empire was? When you came into the airport, you were frightened out of your wits. Moscow, Shermantov, the biggest airport in Moscow. No lights, darkness. Soldiers marching up and down in uniform, goose-stepping, armed to the teeth. KGB agents checking you in, looking at you, looking you over, your baggage. I was going to tell you, no one would talk to you in a house. Every house was bugged. There's a picture in Washington where I'm out in the snow talking to Yuli Khashevsky. I believe it's in Washington. If not, it's in the book that the Mossad put out, Benetiv HaDemama. I had to go out into the snow. 25 degrees below zero. There you could talk freely. It was unbelievable. Yosef Begun accompanying us back to the hotel. The minute you got near the hotel, all talk stopped. You rode on the underground. Not a sound. Not like in Israel. You ride. I was on a bus the other day coming back from Kupat Cholim on Rehov Turim. A guy was giving his shir against the Arabs, against the Goyim, quoting his Rebbe, was a Sfaradi, wiped them out. And when someone told him to be quiet, he started yelling, you're a mumma lahachiz, mazel ishtok, and yomet. You ride an Israeli bus, you hear them talking, a girl is on the cellular phone telling her girlfriend about her date the night before with all the details. Ribbono shel olam. You rode on the metro in Russia, not a sound. Mob. No one spoke. No one spoke. Reading Pravda, Izvestia, not a sound. Big Brother is listening. And the Rebbe said, all that is going to fall. A logical person, I would have said, but the Rebbe, I don't want to be disrespectful, but it can't be. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And the Rebbe was 100% right. So it's very interesting. You look at this Rambam, and I don't have to go any further. You look at the Rambam, what is Becheskat Mashiach? What is Mashiach Rafa? Can the Rebbe be Mashiach? What did he accomplish? How does he compare to the demands of the Rambam. My dear students, a tremendous debate broke out when the Rebbe died. The Messianist, we'll talk about this next term, David Berger. And by the way, David Berger, who published, we owe him a great thanks if we're Chabadnikim, because I'll tell you why I give David Berger all the credit. He showed the extremism, how harmful it can be.
And it's very bad.
In my humble opinion, David Berger's book accomplished one wonderful thing for Chabad. It put brakes on the extremism of the Messianics. In other words, I don't want to go into detail now, but there's a great difference between saying the Rebbe can still be Mashiach, maybe we follow Rashi, maybe he'll come back to life, fine. But there's a great difference to the extremism that Rebbe is Mashiach, the Rebbe is alive, the Rebbe never died, and all the Mishigas that went on in Tzvat, ultimately resulting in the murder of the chief rabbi who himself was a Chabadnik. And I think David Berger's book stopped the extremism. This is the way I view it, because I believe today you do not find this extremism anymore. However, there's a certain individual who has a very interesting name, Gil Student. So Rafi, here's the name. Rafi Gross, not Klein anymore, or not small anymore. Get it, Josh? I'm playing games with Rafi. So Rafi, here's the name Student. So he thinks right away, this is some Americanized name. No, it's a Polish name, Student. It's really his name, Gil Student. Now, Gil Student, some of you know him. He's from the new generation. He's a fabulous individual. He was raised in a conservative temple, but a temple where the rabbi, a JTS graduate, but basically was a big Talmud Chacham and a Yerei Shemayim, Rabbi Feldman, I understand. I believe he was raised in that temple, and he was very friendly with Rabbi Feldman's son, who teaches in YU. And David Feldman, is he alive yet? No, I don't think so. So on him you can say Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. He was a brother-in-law to Rabbi Meir Frendel. His sister, who's not well, Shanit Refu Shlemer, was married to Rabbi Meir Frendel. They raised wonderful, wonderful children. So Gil Student became a real fine first-rate Talmud Chacham. And he runs, a website? What is it called here? Hurim? Or it has a different name today?
That was the original name.
The original name. What's the name? What's the name? I can't hear. Torah Musings?
Musings.
So he published a little volume in 2002, Can the Rebbe Be Mashiach? Proofs from Gemara, Midrash, and Rambam that the Rebbe Zatzal cannot be Mashiach. If you get a hold of this little volume, beginning on page 48, he quotes the Rambam that we have just quoted. What does the Rebbe, what does Mashiach have to do? Compel all of Israel to walk in the way of Torah. Two, repair the breaches in observance. Three, fight the wars of God. Four, build the Beit HaMikdash in its place. Five, gathering the dispersed exiles of Israel. And of course, he goes on to say, yes, the Rebbe did more than anyone else regarding what Mashiach has to accomplish. He initiated an unparalleled tshuva movement that brought many, many Jews back to observance. He fought the spiritual battles of God against assimilation and secularism by sending out mitzvah tanks and armies of youths. Thus, some people can conclude he has least b'cheskat Mashiach. Some will even claim he accomplished 4 and 5. He built a monumental holy place, 770. He helped bring about the mass immigration of Russian Jews to Israel. Maybe they will claim he's Cheskas Mashiach. But then he takes apart one by one. And he's very respectful. The Rebbe's accomplishments were glorious and awe-inspiring. But you cannot say he accomplished what the Rambam wanted. Compel all of Israel, fight the wars of God, build the real Beis HaMikdash, gathering all the dispersed. And he, of course, goes further, quoting the Rambam. You can see it, I didn't quote it all, but when someone dies who is the Cheskat Mashiach, it all ends. The Chazakah is over. And the Haraya, the proof, exactly what happened with Bar Kokhba, that's what happened with the Rebbe, and you can say B'cheskat Mashiach, but it comes to an end. Gentlemen, with all the sources you will bring and can bring, and as I mentioned an hour ago, I received some interesting sources, people did research, Reb Moshe, Hasidic sources. I go back to the Rambam, Perek Yud Bet, Halacha Bet. Anyone who writes it and claims it black and white is a fool. We'll only know when it happens. We're caught up in a tremendous process right now that we have lived to see the majority of halachic Jews in the world living in Eretz Yisrael. This is awe-inspiring, overwhelming. It's beyond our wildest hopes and expectations. When I came in Aliyah, there were 1.5 million Jews in Israel. Everyone knew everyone else. You saw from Jew, you know who he was. Knew the family, knew of the family. All right, there were some from the Mizrahi Jews, as they're called, meaning Mizrachistim, not the political party, but Eidat HaMizrach. I can't say I knew everyone there, but it was such a different world. And today, on to 7 million halachic Jews. What the Russian Jews have done for the state of Israel, physically, on a temporal sense, medically, technologically, and I have to say, religiously. So many politicians, Russians, keep it on their head. Great events have happened. But to say that anyone is Mashiach, not yet. B'cheskat Mashiach, I told you. It's amazing what Shlomo Rav Minacha said.
Now, last week you told us that today you would deal with the topic of did the Rebbe himself.
Not yet. I'll deal with it next term.
You're pushing it off.
Yeah, I have to do something else today, very important. But can the Rebbe yet be Mashiach? According to Rashi, the second version of Rashi, absolutely. Time will tell. Time will tell. My dear students, I brought you to this little point. The Rebbe is gone. The messianicism is very powerful right after his death, the 10 years after his death. We'll talk about David Berger later. Gil student, dealing with the very sources we dealt with, raises some very important problems. And it all pushes me back to Yud Bet, Halacha Bet. It's the healthy way to live, the logical way to live, the rational way to live, and I'll add the frum way to live, in my humble opinion. And we let the issue hang fire. Let history take its course. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam run the world as he sees fit. And we have to do whatever we can, the hishtadlut. I want to pick up next term exactly where I'm leaving off. Chabad post-Rebbe. On a practical level. We'll come back to the messianic issue again, but obviously I want to deal with the shluchim and all that has transpired. I want to compare Bezerah Pin Touro Lander College to Chabad, and I think you can read my mind. Everyone said with the death of the Rebbe and the death of Bernie Lander, these two movements, achievements, will come to an end. And here we are in the year 2017, and they are more powerful than ever. So it's a very interesting question, what happened here? And we'll concentrate on Chabad and see what's happened, and deal with the questions, the future, what can be, Breslov, will there be a Rebbe again? All these are interesting hypothetical questions. Leave it to God and leave it to the human beings. We interact with each other. Bitachon and Hishtatlot. But now I want to shift gears. Friday, a week ago, I gave a special lecture in the Kollel due to Alex Glassman putting me into a glass house. And I started to build some bricks about the Rav. But perhaps the most important message I left out, and I want to end off the class with that message. Do me a favor, give me the fruit juice, whatever. I have a cup. Thank you. I want to deal with the most important message the Rav taught me, and something that you generally don't get elsewhere. And I want to come back to what I consider the most important psychological, philosophical, theological statement of the Rav, that very few people pay attention to. In the Torah world today, everyone is raised kizera eva kadesh, black and white. You find it in the Haredi world 100%. You find it in the Tzioni Dati world, maybe 70%. It's a bit of a battle in the Tzioni Dati world. I don't know in NYU, but if I'm to take Adam Furziger, Rabbi Doctor, my student's book at face value, then even in NYU you find this approach quite powerful. The Rav gave a drasha at a Mizrahi convention, and he spoke about Yosef and his brothers. You're all familiar with the drasha, that it was a machlekes l'shem shemayim. How do you prepare for the exile in Egypt? Yosef had dreams of conquering the world, technology, the sun, the moon, the stars, agriculture. You have to go to Yeshiva University. The brothers were happy. We know what we have. Who knows what we'll get into. Let's continue our old lifestyle. And the Rav said, this was a machlekes l'shem shemayim. He compared it to the machlekes of the Mizrahi and the Aguda. And the Rav said, when it comes to a machlekes like this, we always have to look up and reevaluate constantly. It's not like a halachic machlokes. A halachic machlokes, you all know the sugi of Tanur, the Achnai in Baba Metzia. They look up to God and tell him, it's none of your business. Lo bashamayim. It's a very powerful gemara. Some of you have heard my shurim on this years ago. Very powerful gemara. It's a Gemara, it's a Mishnayot in relation to Resh Chodesh, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yehoshua, that there's no ultimate truth. The truth is what the Beit Neshamata decides. The ultimate truth went one way and we had to observe Yom Kippur another way. Right or wrong? Open Mishnayot. There, halacha was given to man to decide. When it comes to Hashkafa, you always have to look up. What's working out? What's right? What's good? And ultimately, Yosef was proven correct. And if not for his hashkafa, we wouldn't have survived the exile in Egypt. And this was essentially, it's a lot more, but this is Yosef Echad, that drasha. To me, that is such a powerful drasha. It guides my life intimately until this very moment. Perhaps this will explain to you why I always will tell you I have my own hashkafa, my own understanding, but I'll never critique or nihilate or abrogate other viewpoints. You have to see how it works out. And you know how many times I've said, if anyone had a hashkafa that was successful 99% of the time, I'd be the first one to grow a beard, pay us, wear a bekesh, or whatever that hashkafa goes with. But all of us know how hashkafas are far, far from 90% effective. And it doesn't matter, it's Yoni Dati, Haredi, Agudat Yisrael, Eidot HaMizrach, we all suffer with the 200,000 who gathered in Tel Aviv, and who knows how many of them come from a frum education. The Rav's life in two very basic issues, he shifted gears in his life, Bifneyam ve'eda. And I'm overwhelmed by his intellectual honesty and how he was able to shift gears proudly, succinctly, explained himself at times, to two very, very major issues. Two issues which command our attention until this very moment. They may be the two most important issues that a rabbinic leader faces outside of the classroom. One issue goes back to a book called Bernard Revel, Build of American Jewish Orthodoxy. I believe that's where I write about it, not in the Silva era, but check it out. The Rev comes to Boston. He's a grinner, a greenhorn. Okay. You know what the word means, right? Do they still use that word today? Greenhorn? I don't know. We grew up a greenhorn. Comes to Boston. There are older rabbis there. There are younger rabbis there. And one of the younger rabbis joins I don't know what it was called exactly, but the Boston Board of Rabbis. This younger rabbi was Jacob Agus. Jacob Agus was a Talmud Muvhak of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and Rabbi Revel, the yeshiva of the late 20s into the 30s. Very brilliant individual. You all know the Agashevitz family, a brilliant family, one genius after another. One brother was a doctor, one brother was a professor at YU in Jewish history, Rishonim. I've spoken about him. I did my master's under him. I see his face right in front of me. The other brother was Jacob Agus. Jacob Agus. He joined the mixed board of rabbis, Orthodox rabbi at that time. No one would dream that he would go on to become a Reconstructionist and write a tshuva lahatir, driving to shul on Shabbos. And the Rav led the campaign to make him leave the mixed board of rabbis. The Rav got Dr. Belk, Dr. Revel involved, obviously his father. And you see the Rav's point of view at that time. 1956, the crucial year in the history of Torah in America. And by the way, in this book too, it plays a role, but I'm surprised he never quoted my chapter in Silva, which is the most widely quoted chapter of all the scholarship I've published on post-World War II Orthodoxy. I deal with the 50s into the 60s. Maybe it's before his period, but still it's a crucial chapter. The start of what you call the swing to the right. By the way, it's a fabulous book. You have to read it. And I spoke about it before, Beyond Sectarianism. So 56 is the red letter year. By 1956, the Baron Cutler is no longer Advina in America. By 1956, Lakewood has made its stand in America. By 1956, Lakewood cannot be excluded. By 1956, Rav Huttner and Mr. Mendelovich and others in New York who wanted to establish a college for yeshiva boys can no longer do it because Rav Aaron Cutler is opposed. You cannot do anything in Litvisha America without Rav Aaron's approval. And at that point, the famous controversy begins. Synagogue council, mixed board of rabbis. 11 Rashi yeshiva sign an Issa, popularly called the Cherem, that it is absolutely forbidden for an Orthodox synagogue to belong to the United Synagogue. You give credence to Reform and Conservative temples. You can't belong to a mixed board of rabbis. It means you're a rabbi. The Reform rabbi is a rabbi. The Conservative rabbi is a rabbi. 11 important people, including Rav David Lifshitz from YU, the Tzuvalka Rav, including Rav Menachem Mendel Zaks, the Bokan of Yeshiva University, including the Rav's first cousin, Rav Moshe, first cousin once removed, Rav Moshe Feinstein, needless to say, Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, etc., etc. All 11 names are mentioned in the Tzuva era. One signature was missing, the Rav. And as Rav Moshe said, I've told you this many times, Rav Moshe had a Gedolei Israel have a good sense of humor. And Rav Moshe said, we have a klal in halacha, shtika kahoda'a. But he says, damot, this time I'm afraid my cousin's silence is not acquiescence. And the Rav went public on this issue. This was a period in his life where he was not ready to go public. As I mentioned on Friday when I spoke, he suffered enough from Boston, but now he went public. And he spoke about it. It's a very delicate issue, but he changed his mind. On halachic matters, we cannot cooperate. We believe in Torah. We believe in halacha. It commands, demands obedience. But on non-halachic matters, Israel, Zionism, Russian Jewry at that time, the major topic, economics, anti-Semitism, there we have to unite with our brethren. And in my humble opinion, I think what did it all was the Holocaust. And here I called Rav Aaron Adler. And the Rav was interviewed, said it in 56, was published in the Mugen Journal, but let me quote Aaron Adler. You all know Rabbi Adler, he's a Talmud of the Rav from a later period, but a good Talmud Chacham. He has a PhD from Bar Ilan. He is a reliable individual. So he tells the following story, that when the Rav went to the Rebbe's 1980 Fabrengen, so already a guy named Rakefet said it in class, said it many times, and I wrote about it in Jewish Action, at that Fabrengen, just think who came, the great-great-grandson of the Baal Tanya and the great-great-grandson of the Talmud Mufak of the Vilna Gaon, Moriah Rebbe. And they sat together, the Kavod L'Tiferet. The machloket came to an end at that moment. I feel that very strongly. I take great upset to those that are fighting Hasidim today. They don't daven bizman. No one has to tell me that. You know that I'm makpid to daven early. But what can I do? We lost the battle. Whatever the reasons are, I saw the other day, I saw Alex coming out of the mikvah. I was driving out of here. Did you see me? I was turning you, so it was well after 9 o'clock, and you were coming back for me. All right.
That still was mine.
Alex, when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Don't confuse me with the facts. I love you. Relax. Relax. Alex, relax. Aaron Adler tells us that he was one of those at the Fabrengen in 1980, and he said to the Rav afterwards, he was the shamus of the Rav, Rebbe, you healed the breach with the Hasidim. at that Fabregen. And the Rav said no. The breach was already healed in Treblinka and Auschwitz. Quote, end quote. It's very powerful. And the Rav alludes to it, by the way, in the article in the Modern Journal in the 50s. I think what the Holocaust taught the Rav, looking up Yosef Yechov, when the anti-Semites come to kill us, they don't ask us whether we put on tefillin that morning. And the Rav had a very unique stand when it comes to synagogue council. It's a very difficult because it's dialectical tension. Where do you draw the line? But the Rav was a beautiful example. As he said, I never maledicted a Reform rabbi or a conservative rabbi. I always tell my students, teach Torah, and people will find their way to what Torah is about. Don't be negative about others. I can't say I always was smart enough to take the Rav's advice. I have great regrets that I once preached a sermon against Reform Judaism when two sons of a Reform rabbi were sitting in the shul. That was youthful kana'ot, zealotry, that achieves nothing. Oh, this is one example. There's, of course, a second, much more powerful example because it's still very tangible today. So many people ask me about this, and I refuse to answer. I say, go to the YU Torah website, go to the OU. I recorded 9 hours in class on this very topic, right here in this kollel. And here the Rav comes from a tradition. Rav Chaim was 100% against Zionism. 100%. He was against Agudat Yisrael, if I can quote the Rav. The Rav says, don't believe what Agudat will tell you, what Mizrahi will tell you. I'm going to say, don't believe what Atzra will tell you. Rav Chaim was 100% against Agudat Yisrael.
Why was he against Agudat Yisrael?
Considered an innovation, a maratzet. You want the story? Here's the story in a nutshell. The story that says it all. He comes to the first conference, I think it was 1912, before World War I. And they're talking about organizing everyone together. And German rabbis came, Pelische Chassidische Rebbeim and Litvische. And a German rabbi gets up to speak. And he speaks in German for 25 minutes. It's a famous story. I heard this from Tova. I heard this from Abraham Soloveitchik. And so speaks for 25 minutes. And Reb Chaim runs away. So they ask Reb Chaim, what's wrong? Maybe you didn't understand him. He says, no. He says, I understand Yiddish. I understand German. But one thing I know, when you can speak for 25 minutes without quoting a Maimar Chazal, that's not Yiddishkeit. Reb Chaim ran away. Innovation. Chadash Asumina Torah. He will add Zionism. Good at Yisrael.
Well, we don't know what that rabbi spoke.
No, he spoke. What? You don't think a German rabbi? He spoke Lanyan. He spoke. But learning Kenenish. To learn, he didn't know how. What do you want out of the German rabbis? Please, don't be overly impressed by getting a rabbinic degree from the Hildesheimer Seminary. Some were big, but some were average. I've given thousands of hours of
lectures. I'm just saying, does that necessarily extrapolate to saying that he would be against what is Huda in America in the 1950s?
I don't know the 1950s, but he was against Aguda in the 1910s when it was organized.
Sounds like it's for a certain reason.
No, he was against. Look. Chadash Hasumana Torah. Yitzchak, don't leave. I have some very important things for you. One second. Give this to Yitzchak, and this is a special. Yashikayach, this is a special gift for you. You'll see underneath what I'm giving you there. Say that. You're quoting my lectures. Let me continue here, please. Why, you also gave two different degrees in the 40s into the 50s. That you don't know. They try to keep it a secret. Rabbi Gerstenfeld, do you remember that? There was the main smicha and the side smicha. You don't remember. Maybe not in your time anymore. No.
Well, what was the difference?
One was an easier smicha than the other by far. I don't think the one was a Ketav Rabbanut and one was a Yore Yore. Anyway, back here. And here you have the Rav who comes from a family anti any innovation. The Rav winds up in Berlin, he sees Agudat Yisrael, becomes an Agudist. Such an Agudist that when Rav Leizer Silva comes back, and read this is already in the souvenir, when Rav Leizer Silva comes back from Marienbad in 1937, the last Knesia Gedola before the Holocaust. And Rav Chaim Moshe told Rav Leizer, my Talmud, I believe it's time to organize Agudat Yisrael in America. Artsko claims it was organized in 1923 or Mashu. It never functioned. But 37, you have a convention, it starts functioning. Who is Rav Leizer Silva's right hand? The Rav, who is chairman of the Vad HaPoel of Agudat Yisrael, the executive committee, the Rav, who gave the chesped on Rav Chaim Moshe Grzynski in 1940 at the Agudat Convention. It is called in Jewish Observer the most Agudat statement of theology that was ever given in America. Do you remember that chesped? Wow. It's not for now. I redid it. Oh, boy. And wow, what happened? The Rav totally changed his mind. And from 46 on, he's honorary president. I believe it's 46 on. Honorary president of the Mizrahi in America. This is the man who changed the world, 1956. His cold deed of fake drasha. Ke pasa? What happened? And here I want to tell you, in my humble opinion, and the more and more that scholars get involved, the more people agree with me. And I know this, I'm saying it on the basis of my knowledge of the Rav and the family. What happened in World War II? Specifically, the March on Washington in 1943. By 1943, it was no secret what was happening to the Jews. The State Department couldn't squelch it. Peter Bergson, Hillel Cook.
Hello.
Peter Bergson, his real name, Hillel Cook, was in America. He was not that firm, but he was an activist from the Cook family. He was a revisionist. And together with the Agudas HaRabbanim, which was the main rabbinic authority in America, for Torah Jews, they organized the March on Washington. 2 days before Yom Kippur, Rebbe spoke about it. He cried. He said, do you know what it means? Tzvei Tag for Yom Kippur. 2 days before Yom Kippur, Rabbanim go to Washington. They're exhausted. They're tired. They came in from all over America. And Roosevelt spat in their face. Would not even see them. The march accomplished next to nothing. How many Jews died because of America? It probably goes into the millions.
But how many hold on.
You can go online. You'll see pictures. Over 200 rabbis. I can actually identify.
And it was just rabbis.
I imagine there may have been some laymen, but it was mainly rabbanim. And I can actually, the Rav is not up front. He was an unknown rabbi. But you see in front, Rabbi Levenberg of Philadelphia, Leventhal, I should say. Correct me, please. Rabbi Leventhal, you see Rabbi Rosenberg, Rabbi Silva, and what he sent Henry Wallace, the Rav said, they sent the vice president to talk with us, and you know how much power a vice president has in America, less than a bumblebee. And you see, the Agudat Yisrael always believed in shtatlanut. He deals with in the book about Russian Jewry, the whole question, shtatlanut, not activism. Nope. Without activism, you get nowhere. And he became an activist. And activism meant Mizrahi. And he totally shifted gears. And the Rav used to say, If I would be an agudist and be part of the crowd, they would declare me a tzaddik, a gaon, a chassid, but I choose to be a Mizrachiite. And it was talks at the Mizrachi convention where he reveals his heart and how difficult it is for him, and what it means being a Mizrachi, and breaking with family tradition, and the difference between Chaim Weizmann, remember, and himself, very powerful, but so informative how an individual in the limelight who knows Kol HaTorah Kula, an Einikel of Reb Chaim, but he was never static. He constantly was re-evaluating. And that is crucial. And it's a powerful message. You can apply what I just said to the Lubavitcher Rebbe as well. And this is what I've told Chassidim. You make a mistake when you think there's no one that you can appoint to be Rebbe who's like the Rebbe. What you don't understand is that the Rebbe wasn't the Rebbe in 51. He had the promise, the ability. But if you would tell him in 51, you're going to develop the concept of a shaluach, of a mitzvah tank, of fabrengens that will be heard all over the world with all the modern technology, including Waze, will tell people how to get the centers where they're coming in through satellite. The Rebbe would have looked at you, but he had that ability to evaluate. It's a powerful message. And I, without going any further, let me end off. I owe a great debt to my Rebbe. One of the big problems of growing older, and any of you who have studied with Rebbe know what I'm talking about, is that a Rebbe can remain static, and ultimately the student winds up in one world, the Rebbe is in another world. In YU, there's some very sad stories about wonderful Rebbeim who would lose out as the new generation came in. I can define what I'm saying and delineate, but it's not for now. Sometimes you know too much. Sometimes we're better off not knowing so much. The Rav gave me a beautiful gift. The ability to constantly evaluate and to be part of the next generation. And I end off with my favorite story about the Rav that I heard directly from Mo Berlin. When Mo came in Aliyah, Nitz Refuah Shleima, these are wonderful people, right? It's a generation gone by. Mo came in Aliyah, so we went to visit him at the absorption center. And Mo came from Brookline. He ran a hospital there, has a degree, a master's, running a hospital. Wonderful individual. So Mo said, "Ani, I got a good story to tell you." We were a year apart in college, but we were classmates. So I was a year ahead of myself in learning. "Ani, I got a great story to tell you." Every day I would daven Mincha Maariv in Maimonides. So one time the Rav comes over to me after Mincha and says, "Meishele, do me a favor, explain baseball to me." And Mo says, "All right, Rebbe." He starts explaining first base, second base, third base, home, run, three strikes, four balls, nine innings, you know, everything. When it's over, you're almost ready to daven Maariv, and the Rav has it, the Rav repeats it. He says to Rebbe, "Excuse me, and Shuldik, excuse me. Why does the Rav have to know this?" And the Rav looks at Mo and says, "Mo, my grandchildren are coming over for Shabbos. I want to have something to talk about with them. Okay? This is a good Rebbe. He is keeping up with the times." Read about the Rav talking about being a Rebbe and his students in volume 2 of the Rav, the world of. This is reevaluating. This is a powerful message. And I have to be my debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I learned it from the Rav, am I trying my best to practice it? So to reiterate, what did we do so far today? Finish the Rebbe to a certain point, the Rambams you have to look at. And Besofo Shel Davar, no one can say with authority the Lubavitcher Rebbe is Mashiach. Could be Mashiach, version of Rashi. Live up to everything that the Rambam writes? Doesn't look like it. Anyone closer than the Rebbe? Not my opinion, and I'm a Litvak. What is the answer? Perek Yud Bet, Halacha Bet. Give it time. I then said a few words tying up the lecture of Friday, because time didn't allow, but I didn't want to let it go. And it's a powerful message. The ability to reevaluate. Synagogue councils are low pashut. I have a lot more to say about it. Don't misunderstand me. But the guideline from the Rebbe is very powerful. And at one time they used to have the Kollel go on trips with, we had to go for the Jewish agency with reform and conservative rabbis. And I always would say, Rabbi, how are you? And students would ask me, Rebbe, that's a nice fafa bum, but this, I said, will I accomplish anything by embarrassing him? You have to use a little seichel. Mizrahi Agudah, Agudah Mizrahi, very powerful. I have so much more to say on the topic. My dream is, and I think it's happening, that the more emotionally charged element of the Mizrahi world is meeting hands-on the more open element of the Haredi world. And we can both together forge a more magnificent Ben Torah of the next generation. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein spoke about this, what we can learn from each other, and I echo it with a great Amen. Ani modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a little older, even if I thought I'm young, but every day I get bad news. Colleagues are gone, Talmidim are gone. And I feel like a kid at times, particularly in the classroom. And the Modeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's been a wonderful year of teaching. And I want to thank all my students in front of me and all those that are listening. It's very moving to me. I walk on streets and I think no one knows me from a hole in the ground. And suddenly this guy says, I've heard 500 shir, 1,000 shir. I was in Rami Levi the other day and we buy the milk cartons that stand, the chalav amid. It cost a little more, but we never have a problem. Nothing ever goes sour. And that way I always have ample milk in the house. And my neighbors knew it. I remember one time the hutners, they needed milk on Pesach, and Rebbetzin Hutman knew, Bat Sheva knew, that the Rakepits have extra, but oh, she was so happy. I said, take three, take four, you buy 12 at a time. So I'm carrying back to the wagon, and a young man with his wife, they look like newlyweds. I don't know, then when he comes over, Rav Rakefa, can I help you carry? I was so moved, that, you know, and I was wearing a sling yet, so he thought, who knows what, so, very moving. Biyitziyotom mahu omer, modani lefanecha adonai Elohai velohei avotai, shesamta chelki miyoshvei beit hamedrash, velo samta chelki miyoshvei kronot, shani mashkim vehei mashkimim, ani mashkim v'divrei Torah vehei mashkimim l'dvarim b'teilim, ani amel vehei mamaylim, ani amel u'makabel ska vehei mamaylim v'einu makabelim ska, ani rats vehei ratsim, אני רץ לחיי העולם הבא, והם רצים לבי שחת, שנמה, ואתה אלוהים תורידן לבי שחת, אנשי דמים וממה, לא יחצו ימיכם, ואני אפתח בך. And if I had my way, I would write the end of the prayer, it's based upon Chazal, that it should be more positive at the end. Let's not talk about people who go off the path, but let's talk about Tzaddikim, Kedoshim, Mesirat Nefesh, and Chalavai. We should be better and better. And I look forward to being picked up by Mark Watson and giving a talk on kosher movies. which will begin with Sempo Sugi Hara. Try to figure it out, Mark. Gentlemen, if
there's
Beit Shemesh by Meir Lichtenstein Shul.
And it's going to be posted in a way?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope so. They have to record it. Okay, be posted. Not a problem. Rabbi Herkom. If anyone is interested in Breslov, it's very interesting. It's questions they get and what Rav Shik answers. Fascinating. Very similar to questions you get in YU. The New York Times, an article, Why You Marry the Wrong Person. Yomo cannot take this. Why You Will Marry the Wrong Person. Not for Yomo, but for anyone else. Hampton Towns, Near a Deal on Jewish Ritual Boundary. He has a copy. Don't let him play games with you. It's about putting up the Erev in West Hampton. Were Adam and Eve trans, black transgender refugees? What morons, this is Shmuel Yankelevich. I don't know where these people are coming from. Tikkun Olam. This is very serious. Transgender bathroom debate turns personal at a Vermont high school. That is a serious problem. Imagine you start the year and she's a girl, and 6 months later, she's in your bathroom as a man. This is tongue-in-cheek. It's a movie that just broke in France, Let Us All Become Jews. It's a movie by Jews. The Jews are very bright. Let's be Jews. The Jews have a lot of money. Let's be Jews. And if we all become Jews, we will solve all problems. Kol hakavod. Gentlemen, there's refreshments, a l'chaim, that we had such a beautiful year, and the Eibishter should keep us in health and strength as we go further.